أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وأيوب إذ نادى ربه أني مسني الضر وأنت أرحم الراحمين.
In the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to us of certain bounties that Allah had conferred upon Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah azza wa jal allowed him to control the wind, and he would instruct the wind to carry him to whichever place he desired and he wished. Not only was he carried by the wind, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained that the violent winds were brought under his control to an extent that he could have his entire force and his entire army transported from one point to another by being carried by the wind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained that how Allah subjugated the shayateen for him, and he had used the shayateen for different services, and he had assigned different tasks to them. Allah spoke of one specific task, that how they would dive to the bottom of the ocean for Sulaiman alayhi salam to fish out and to collect for him and bring forth different types of jewels and pearls that are found at the depth of the ocean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now tells us of another great Nabi of Allah azza wa jal, who had enjoyed a very prosperous life, a life of prosperity and success in every sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a lot of wealth. Allah azza wa jal blessed this great Nabi of his with abundant, magnificent homes. He was blessed with a lot of attendants. He was blessed with a lot of children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a pious wife. He was married to the daughter or the granddaughter of Yusuf alayhi salam, and this was Nabi Ayyub. In the initial years of his life, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam indeed enjoyed a very comfortable life in terms of the material things of this world, in terms of popularity, in terms of his fame, in terms of piety, in terms of health. He enjoyed good health and everything you could ever wish for. Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam had it for a period of 70 long years. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to test him. And Allah azza wa jal tested him in every sense. Every bounty that he was blessed with was taken away. Every single ni'mah. Allah took away his wealth. He lost all his wealth, all his animals. He had herd upon herd of animals. He lost his home. He lost all his children in one single accident. One of his mansions collapsed, and 14, Allah blessed him with 14 children. From the 14, 7 were boys, 7 were girls. What a perfect family Allah blessed him with. And like this, one by one, he started losing all the bounties of him. And he remained grateful to Allah. And the greatest test that he faced was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed him to suffer from a very rare disease. And this disease, this virus, had spread throughout his entire body and infected every part of his body apart from his heart and his tongue. And he used his tongue to praise Allah and his heart to express gratitude to Allah. Even in that miserable state, he had absolutely nothing. Outwardly, inwardly, if you were to look at him, there was nothing for him to be grateful about. But he remained grateful to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had preserved his heart and Allah preserved his tongue. And he used whatever he still had in order to express gratitude to Allah. A great lesson for every one of us is found in this great Nabi of Allah, Nabi Ayyub. And eventually, you know, no one wanted to be near him. He had these sores and these boils that were all over his body. And the only one who remained close to him was his wife. His wife, whose name was Layya. She was close to him and she remained with him and she nursed him and she took care of him. And eventually one day she said to him that, "You are the Nabi of Allah. Why don't you raise your hands and make dua to Allah? Why don't you make dua to Allah that Allah cures you?" And what was his response? He said to his wife, Allah gave me 70 years of prosperity. The illness, the disease, and the suffering has only lasted for 7 years. I feel ashamed to ask Allah and to raise my hand and make dua. I feel embarrassed. I feel I'm being ungrateful. He gave me 70 years of prosperity. Why can I not persevere and make tawbah for 7 years of suffering? However, she insisted, and eventually he made the dua, and that's what Allah speaks of over here. Allah speaks of the dua that he made. And look at the adab, look at the etiquette, look at the respect, look at the modesty, look at the shyness when he makes the dua. He doesn't demand, it's not even a direct dua, he's not even directly asking Allah to cure him. What does he say? Allah says, "Wa Ayyub," and mention to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Ayyub alayhi salam, إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ, when he called out to his Rabb. What was the dua? All he said was, رَبْ أَنِّي مَسَّنِي أَقْدُرْ. He says, O Allah, pain has affected me. Pain has touched me. Harm has come to me. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ, and you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. That was it. That was his dua. He didn't say, Allah, cure me. He didn't even ask. He was so ashamed to ask, or he felt so embarrassed to ask, that how can I ask when he gave me so much already? And he put his situation in front of Allah. Oh Allah, this is my situation. This is what I'm experiencing. I'm in a lot of pain. I'm really, really sick. I'm very ill, oh Allah. That's my situation. And oh Allah, you are Arhamur Rahimin. You are the most merciful of those who show mercy. That was it. And that was enough. And again, we spoke about this attribute of rahmah. Whenever you make dua, especially when a person is suffering from an illness or a disease or is infected by any virus, then he should make dua to Allah by saying, "Anta arham ar-rahmi, anta arhamur rahmi." You are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Allah says, "Fastajabna lah." Immediately we answered him. We responded to him. فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرٍ. Allah says, we remove whatever pain, suffering, illness, infection, virus, is suffering. We removed it. We took it away. Now very, very important for us to also understand that while we are very particular about practicing on the health measures that are in place, which we should do also, but to a greater extent, they are spiritual practices that protect us from viruses. And greater importance should be attached to that, to the spiritual practices that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us to adopt in order to protect and safeguard us against illness and virus. Because no matter how many measures we have in place, if Allah still wants the illness to come to you, it will come to you. There's no doubt about that. Have the best and have all of it in place, which we should do. But ultimately, if Allah has destined and decreed for you to be infected by that virus, it will infect you. And that is why the greatest source of protection are the spiritual practices that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that we should adopt. There's nothing greater, more effective than that. And ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kashafna, we are the one who caused him to fall ill, and we are the ones that removed it. فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ دُرٍ. Whatever pain, suffering he had, all of it, we removed it. It's a miracle. Allah explains elsewhere how Allah Ta'ala instructed him to take his heel and to strike it onto the ground. When he did that, there was water that gushed forth. هَذَا مُخْتَسَرٌ بَارِدْ. Allah explains elsewhere that, oh Ayyub, bathe yourself in this water, drink of this water. As he bathed himself and drank from that water, his health was completely restored to the extent that when his wife came looking for him, she did not even recognize him. And she saw this handsome man in front of her, and she asked him, where is Ayyub? Where is the sick old man that was here? And he said he had to convince her. She didn't believe him. Eventually he convinced her that he is indeed Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah says, we did not only cure him, but everything that we took away from him, everything because of his perseverance, and he remained grateful. That was the secret. In his adversity, he remained grateful. As grateful as he was during his prosperity, it's easy to be grateful in days of prosperity. It's easy to say Alhamdulillah when you have it all. It's far, far, far more difficult to say Alhamdulillah when you lost it all. But he remained the same level of gratitude and the same level of thanks and the same level of appreciation that he had displayed over there, he displayed it over here as well. Allah says, وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ. We gave him back his family. The children that he lost, we gave him back. There are two interpretations over here. Some of us didn't maintain the view that Allah allowed his wife to fall pregnant on more than one occasion and once again produced the children that he had in the past. The other interpretation, according to Ibn Mas'ud, Allah brought his children back to life. The children that he had lost, miraculously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had brought them back to life. Allah says, وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ. We gave him back his family. وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعْهُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and like them, another set. In other words, we doubled his children. We gave them more. We gave him back more children than he had. رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. Allah says, this was a form of expressing and showing our rahmah to him. Again, the importance of making dua by mentioning Allah's rahmah. We do not deserve it, and you make it clear to Allah. And you believe, oh Allah, what I'm asking for, I really don't deserve it. I'm asking for Jannah, oh Allah, but I've done nothing to earn it. I'm asking for this, oh Allah, I have nothing to present before you on the basis of which I am asking you. It is only through your rahmah. I am asking you through your rahmah, O Allah. Then why do we do good deeds? If whatever we get, and even paradise, if we're getting it through the rahmah of Allah, why do we perform good deeds then? What's the point? The good deed draws the rahmah of Allah. The good deed is a means of drawing the rahmah of Allah. But ultimately, it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. Allah says, رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا. It was a rahmah from our side. وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ. And why did we do this? Why did we subject him to the trials and tribulations and allow him to enjoy prosperity once again after adversity as a reminder for the servant? There are many, many servants who will experience what Ayyub alayhi salam had experienced. Herein they'll find a great lesson and a reminder in the life of Ayyub alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us.